Ephesians chapter number 6. And we're going to talk today, I'll give you the subject in a minute. I want to show you something first. I want to show you something, and then I'll give you the title for today. But if you've got something to write with, take it out, write with it. If you're using electronic, that's fine. But if you have a paper Bible, look at that, whatever you're doing at home. Text, email, call your friends, like them, send them a note, say, hey, Flow Church is live. Check them out, take a look at it, because this is something that will absolutely bless them. And it will bless you, and it will bless your life. If you think, if you don't have a notepad or something to write with, you got a bill envelope in your purse or your jacket pocket, that's the best thing to write on. Praise the Lord. People that write notes in church on bill envelopes end up not having bills. Glory to God. Y'all better hear me. For years, I had them bill envelopes. I couldn't afford a notebook. And I thank God that the bill envelopes went away. And now I got nice notebooks. It's a sign of God being good to me because I was good to God. All right. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Go to Ephesians chapter 6 and look right at verse 1, 2, and 3. Ephesians chapter number 6. And I want to show you something there in Scripture. Watch what it says here in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And all the parents said, amen. Yes, praise the Lord. Y'all like that, don't you? Right? And then it goes on a little further. Then it says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment of promise. Come on, parents, help me out here. Yes, glory to God. If you're on mobile church, I should be getting hearts all over the screen right now. Watch this. And verse 3 says, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. It says, it benefits you, praise the Lord. And so understand, parents, then the Bible says that urge to strangle sometimes is justified because God wants them to live a long time, and obeying you is the key to that. Come on, parents, give me some more. That's good, ain't it? I got even more. Praise the Lord. Colossians chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Two books over. Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 20 and 21. Praise God. Children, obey your parents. Listen to them. Galatians 3 and 20. Look what it says again. Children, obey your parents in all things. Can you say all things, parents? That mean clean your room and brush your teeth and get in the bed like I had said. Praise the Lord. It says all things. Right? For this is well pleasing unto the Lord. See there? Like, dude, because God is telling me to tell you right now. This is good. Praise the Lord. Now, watch 21. Now, I got an issue with Paul here, 21. We're going to have to talk when I get to heaven in many, many years. But look what it says. It says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger. Now, notice, back when we read in Ephesians, it said, honor your mother and your father. I'm good with that. But why here in verse 21 does it say, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged? How come the fathers are the only one that, I don't understand how it's going to say, I mean, what is it about that? Okay, maybe I just proved my own point. But it says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger. So it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. It says again here in Colossians, children, obey your parents in the Lord. The Bible sets up that children, the proper position of a child is to obey the Lord. Can we agree with that? All right. Now go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm so glad to have all the parents with me this morning. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at what verse number 1 says. Ephesians 5 and verse 1. Matter of fact, let's read that out loud all together. It don't even matter which version you're reading. It's going to all sound about the same. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 1. Ready? Read. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. It says, be ye. This is talking to the adults. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Now, we don't quite know what the therefore is there for yet, but it's saying to you and I, be ye followers of God as dear children. So now let's have a total recall moment. Because when I read those first scriptures about children obey your parents in the Lord, all the adults and the parents were whipping me and yelling and screaming at me and ready to throw money on the stage. Praise the Lord. And then it said, obey, children, obey your parents in all things. But then Paul comes back here before he said that to children, obey your parents in chapter 6. He says, by the way, I want to set this up because I want you to see that we are all the children of God. So where, as we got great joy in thinking about our children cleaning their room and doing what they were supposed to do and doing their homework like they were supposed to and all the things that we tell them to do and all the instruction that we give them, he prior to that had said, we're all the children of God. And he says, therefore, so there's a reason behind it. Look at verse chapter 4. Look in chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at the very first verse. First verse of chapter 4. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. He says, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He says, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Then you drop down to verse 11 and he starts talking about the gifts that we have. And he says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Look what 12 says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Then he goes on and talks about till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Look at verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children. So this isn't talking about being the children of God. This is talking about being an immature person. And he says, no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Glory to God. And he talks about things that we can do and being alienated from God. And look at verse 20. Verse 20 is very important. Verse 20 says, but ye have not so learned Christ. So now he's talking to the church at Ephesus and he's saying there's certain things that God has put in place to bless us. There's certain things God has put in place to cause us to be well. And he says, and I want you to see that some people can go astray. Some people can get off of that. Some people can lose that. He says, but you have not so learned Christ. What I want to make sure we understand as a congregation that Christ, the anointed one and his anointing, the Messiah, is a learned entity in our lives. And you have to be responsible for knowing him yourself. Oh, girl, y'all not going to help me this morning. You got to be responsible for knowing him yourself because there's a debate about the picture. You know, the light-skinned Jesus or the dark-skinned Jesus. And at homes you say, which Jesus are you praying? And I submit to you, the skin color matters not if you don't know the content on the inside. See, it don't matter what, and by the way, he was the dark skinned one. Just the Bible proves it. I mean, feet of brass, hair of wool. That's an afro. Praise the Lord. But I digress. But understand, if that's what you know, but that's all you know, you're still robbing yourself of learning Christ. So Paul's speaking to a group of people here that he has an expectation that they're willing to learn their salvation. They're willing to learn their relationship with God. They're willing to have an experience with God where they get information, not just inspiration. Where they get information and not just the good feeling. Where they get knowledge and not just what somebody else knows. All right, watch this. I'm trying to calm down because I'm going to preach this this morning. Watch this. And so he goes on and he talks about 22. He says that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Then he talks about how we can conduct ourselves this way. 26 says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that need it. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, had forgiven you. So then he gets to chapter 5 and says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. He says, be ye followers of God, because God has given us certain guidelines and certain pieces of information that allows us to obey him and allows us to walk in what he's called us to. Go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Glory to God. Galatians, just to the left of Ephesians, chapter 4. Now, why is that important? Because if God is our Father, and he is, and God is our Lord, and he is, it's necessary for us to maximize his lordship through our obedience. And so the same way we started this and talked about children, oh, how it would be good for our children if they obeyed, I want you to see adults, it's just as significant for you to obey. It's just as beneficial to you to obey. It's just as much a blessing to you to obey God as it is for your children to obey. Y'all not talking. Okay. Yeah. See, y'all were all with me when I was talking about the kids, and now y'all quiet when I'm talking about y'all. I'm just saying, just as how beneficial it is for the children to listen to you, and when the children think, she don't know what she's talking about. He don't know what he's talking about. He just always want, he don't want me to have no fun. He don't want me. If the children think that way, you as the adult know that what you're saying is better for them than what they're trying to do. What you're saying to them is more beneficial than what they would desire to play video games as opposed to study. But as a good parent, you cause them to study so that they can have video games when they get older. So that they're not 30 years old in your basement playing video. Y'all got to hear me. That same idea, though, needs to be picked up and transplanted to God. And so then the question becomes, what then has God said to you and I, and we've stomped off like a little child who somebody stole a bike? What if we had God say to us that we weren't willing to obey, and that we got mad because God said it to us, and we acted like a little child who could not or would not do what, okay, fine. Maybe I'm just talking to me, but I know there's some times in my life where God was telling me something and I didn't want to do it. That last verse we just read said, forgiving one another. It's some people I wanted to stay mad at. And see, y'all think I'm talking about before I got saved, back in my, I don't know, I'm talking about a couple weeks ago. Yeah. I wanted to stay mad. The Lord was like, pray for him. Like, I don't want to pray for him. I want to fight him. I want to walk up to him and punch him in the face. But the Lord said, no. And he says, obey me. So, y'all, come on. My other church don't act like this. See, you got to realize, Jesus himself had this same struggle. Jesus himself is in the garden, and the Bible says he's praying, and he's praying till he's sweating blood. And he says, Father, if there's any way, I don't have to do this. Oh, see, you got to get a picture of Jesus just floating around in a robe and being all quiet and meek. No, he's the same guy who won the temple turning over tables. He's the same guy who told them, y'all trying to take me? Not today. I ain't having it. Walk right past people that were trying to assault him. This is Jesus' personality was way different than what you will get if you don't learn him. And the Jesus says, listen, God, if there's some way to get rid of this. See, he had that same emotion you have when you saw that person that did you wrong. And the Holy Spirit trying to tell you, say hi. And you sitting there like, okay, I don't want to say hi. That's a two-letter word. Lord, but you give me a couple more letters and you scramble it around. Can I do boggle? Can I do boggle? God, can I do boggle? Can I do words for free? you and I have to be willing to be obedient. Because watch this. You with your believing, sanctified, holy, church-going, God-loving self, in your disobedience, you just like the sinner. Okay, it sounds like I'm picking on you. In your sin, we just like, does that help you? We just like the unbeliever. We just like those who don't. We just like those who go to the demonic church. Watch this in Colossians. Did I tell you go to Colossians? Galatians 4. Look in Galatians 4. Watch this. Galatians 4. Look at verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. So this isn't talking about a child as in being the offspring. This is saying a child as being immature as an offspring. So the scripture says you and I are heirs, but as long as we are immature or as long as we are childlike in our heirship, he says, we differ nothing from a servant. And some versions say we differ nothing from a slave. We differ nothing from somebody who has to be protected from themselves. Think about it. Your children are hungry, but you got to be protected from themselves because you can't send them in the kitchen by themselves because there's fire in there. It's knives in there. It's water in there that if you turn the faucet the wrong way, you can drown. You can't just send them in a tub by themselves. You can't just put them in a place where there's fire. You can't just have them go in the room with the outlets because they'll start try to stick stuff in the outlets. And they'll try to do things that to them appear to be exciting, but actually will sabotage their lives. He says, in our immaturity, we're acting the same way. He said, in our immaturity, we're acting the same way. Now, can y'all handle this? No, I'm going to say it anyway, but if y'all can handle it, it sounds better to you. It helps you go down if you can handle it. But see, so now watch this. Watch. It does you no good if you're watching in the mobile church, but the whole time you're watching on your laptop and you're playing games on your phone. You got me? It don't do you no good. It don't do you any good to come to church and learn about prayer and learn about the things of God and then get up the next morning worrying and go straight to CNN before you ever talk to. It don't do you any good to come to church and come to marriage ministry and you want to get married, you learn about marriage or you want to get your marriage better and you want to get that better. And then the moment you get in your car, all you turn on is songs about everything but godly marriage. Pastor, why you always got to be on our songs like that? It's just music, Pastor. I mean, after all, it's just words. It's just music. It's just going in my ears and going into my mind and committed to my memory. So it's in my subconscious, even if it's not in my conscious. And my subconscious has a way of coming up to my conscious when I'm in times of crisis or times where I'm unfamiliar about things. And so in those situations, those songs that I've learned will come back. Y'all want me to prove it to y'all? I just need you to see this. Mr. Vandross said, let me hold you tight. Now look. Obviously, I know the song too. Okay. I know the song too. All right. But here's the point of maturity. Here's the point of maturity says, I've got to be willing to walk away from things that I once deemed the greatest thing ever. When I was a kid, we loved Pop Rocks and Fun Dip. I mean, we'd take that little chalk stick and stick it down in a bag of sugar and have sugar all over our lips and just licking sugar and eating sugar. And then we wash it down with a square shooter and a peach knee high. But when I became mature enough to realize that 700 pounds was probably not conducive to living a long time. Come on. I know you guys have talked yourself into it, but stop lying. kale does not taste as good as sherbet ice cream. I don't care what you put on it. I don't care how much paprika you sprinkle on it. It just ain't going to happen. But notice, maturity says, if I want to live a long time, if I want to have something, if I want a difference in my life, I've got to do something different. And I've got to go against, and even if other people aren't making that decision, even if other people aren't making that choice, even if other people are going a different direction, I have to be strong enough not to follow the crowd, but follow the cross. Watch this. You still there in four? He says, verse 2 says, but is under tutors and governors until the appointed time of the Father. Even so, when we were children, we're in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So he said, he redeemed us so that we could be sons, so that we could receive. We were redeemed so that we could receive. We were redeemed so that we could receive. We were redeemed so that we could receive. And we learned about giving and receiving, how they go together. And so if you've truly received something, then by definition, you have the capacity or you have something to give. The trick of the enemy is for us to receive sonship, but then not being willing to give evidence of sonship, so then we forfeit what we have. You got to hear this. You got to hear this. Because we'll say, we're born again. We're saved. We're going to heaven. You're doing all that. But if you receive and you're not, so your capacity doesn't change. Your capacity begins to shrink. Your capacity doesn't increase. It decreases because you've received it. But then if you're not willing to do the things, it's no different than, this is how we say it. When you see someone who's 5'9", 165 pounds, but they writing on a wall with crayon, and they look like they 14, 15 years old, and they stomping their feet and pitch, mommy, I want this. What do you say? He too big. Okay, yeah, okay, fine. Yeah, y'all know y'all being this. Okay, when I'm in the store, I'm like, oh, he too big for that. And then the next thing I think, because I'm like, especially if they look like, the parent won't, you know, stay sparing the rod. And all I'll be thinking, tag me in. Just tag. Just tag me. Woo! I'd be on the turnbuckle like, woo! Just woo! Just tag me in. I don't need to know you. We could be tag team partners for, this is for only one night. I will get him straight. Okay, fine. I digress. So watch. Even though there's no physical growth signs necessary to maturity as a believer, you ought to set standards in your life of your growth. You ought to say, I'm too big to just only know four scriptures. And one of them is Jesus wept. That don't even count. Jesus wept, John 3:16. I'm out. Okay, I'm good. No, you ought to set standards in your life. Like, yes, maybe when you first got born again, the only prayer you knew was the Lord's Prayer. But 5 years in, now keep looking straight ahead. I'm not pointing anybody out in particular, but you can't just have I'm just glad to be in the number salvation mentality. Because the Bible says very clearly in Hebrews 5, there's a time coming where you ought to be a teacher. But you have need that one teach you again. And he says, strong meat belongs to those who by use discern good from evil. He says, so you got to be willing to practice. You got to be willing to do salvation. And you can't just be sitting on the sideline saying, at least I'm saved. At least I go to church. Least, what you do in church? Well, I just go sit there. Okay, all right, that's cool. How long you been? 3 years. 3 years? 3 years, you still just go sit there? Well, I don't really know them songs. That's a lie. You ain't trying. You're not trying. Because it don't take you 3 years to learn songs on the radio. You know how I know? They're not on the radio for 3 years. Let's read the rest of this. Praise the Lord. Verse 6 says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. How be it then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods? But now, after that you've known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? The Bible is very clear. God's desire is for our obedience to propel us forward in our spiritual walk. Your obedience needs to be the catalyst by which you measure. It needs to be the metric for all things in your life. Praise the Lord. So the scripture says, count the cost. Luke 14:28, he says, count the cost. If a man sitting down to build a tower, that he might have sufficient to finish it. So in other words, the Bible says, make a list. That's all that means, count the cost. He says, make a list. He says, be willing to have a list. Be willing to have a list and measure yourself based on that list. Not measuring anybody else, not measuring what somebody else said, but measure yourself based on that list. And measure your growth based on that list. Measure your maturity. So I'm gonna give you five things just to as a starter for the list, but you can list 25 things in your list. You can list as many things. But I want to challenge you to guard your obedience. I want to challenge you to measure your obedience, to guard your obedience, and enforce your obedience. When the Bible says in Corinthians, pulling down strongholds, thoughts that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, and having readiness to avenge all disobedience. He's talking about having the discipline necessary so that our obedience drives us. That our respect for God drives us, and that whenever we see ourselves fall out of line with that, man, I got to finish this, but I'm working on something for us but I've got to be first partaker of, and I'm practicing it in my house, how to unlazy your life. What I'm studying and discovering is that laziness is the gap between where you are and where you know you should be. That space right there, that's laziness. And so what I'm working on is to help you to unlazy your life. But we got to first have this piece of obedience, because we got to have a reverence for God. And then God's, because if we could do it on our own, we would. If you could do it on your own, we'd all be the size we want to be. We'd have the degrees we want to have. We'd have the eating habits we want to have. We wouldn't say stuff we didn't want to say. We wouldn't think stuff we wouldn't want to say. If you could do it on your own, praise the Lord, you would already do it. So it's obvious then to me that we need God's help. So here's the list. And I'm going to give you the first one. First one you're already doing. So this is how they teach you in college. Start off with something positive. And then that gets the group on your side. And then when you go down the road, and if there's something that's not on their list, they'll think back to the positive one, and they'll feel favorably about you as a speaker. Let's see if it works. Okay. Number one, church attendance. See? And you're all here today. You're all watching. Church attendance. And remember, with everything, we start with God, we start with the kingdom, but it ends with us. So the Bible says, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together, but exhort one another the more as you see the day approaching. So when we have obedience in the area of regularly attending God's services, God's house, watch what happens. It's got to end with us, right? Then we can have the benefit of our obedience in that area show up as a benefit and God regularly attending to your house. Glory to God. You come home at night and the power's out, but God is regularly attending to your house. Ain't nothing going to be missing. You have to go to a place that's a strange place and you don't know anybody. God says, I'm going to send the angels with you, and I'm going to go in advance and have somebody there that even though you're just going to meet them, you're going to feel comfortable when you get there. Why is that? He said, because if you show up regularly at my house, I'm going to show up regularly at your house. But understand how this works, because God says, be not deceived. I'm not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So now obedience says, not only do I have to show up, but I've got to show up in a way that I want God to show up in my life. Oh, right. I got to show up in a way that as a seed, I'm giving of myself. And so whatever I'm giving is what I want back. If you don't want it back, don't give it. What do I mean? If you want, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. While the singing's going on in church, you don't want that back because you don't want something to show up in your life back that way. Right? You don't want to be in praying and say, Lord, my side sure is hurting. God, I need some help. And he's like, healing. H, give me an H. Give me an E. A, yeah. Is that what you're talking about? Healing? What time is it? I got to go to the bathroom. Let me see. Right? I mean, I can get all deep and spiritual, but really, the Bible says, and so here's what I say, if you're going to tune in, you're going to watch, you're going to show up, which you should, because it's obedience, so here's what not to do. What not to do is to stay at home and not to tune in. That's the wrong thing. But then when you come, see, I can't just be happy for me that you hear. It's like, okay, we got a crowd. Okay, we got people watching. That would be for my benefit. But as a pastor, I'm more concerned about your development. I'm more concerned about your increase towards your walk with God than me looking like, oh, I got a bunch of people. That's nonsense. I care about you growing spiritually. And so I can't just be satisfied just because you're here. No, I need you to be here and be present. And I need you and watch. And you got to bring all your faculties with you. Come on, this must be song week. Y'all heard the OJs. Your body's here with me, but your mind is. See, that's what you can't do. That's what you can't do in church. So your attendance. Second part is your giving, your financial giving. The scripture says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So the Bible says there's a benefit to that. And as a mature believer, you understand those benefits. You understand the benefit of bringing the tithe. You understand the benefit of bringing the offering. You understand the financial blessing that it is, first of all, to give to God's house and then have a financial benefit of being able to go to God and cause increase to come to your life. Third thing on your list. So you got attendance, you got financial giving. And we know giving and receiving go together. So that's a giving. Third thing is your work for the kingdom, your skills. Measure your obedience and find out, did God give you certain skills? And are you willing to use those skills for the kingdom? Are you willing to do that for the body of Christ? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to work for? Are you willing to put in time for? Are you willing to be a blessing for? Are you? Pastor Vita talked to us last week about being our brother's keeper. And if your brother have need of what you have, are we being selfish if we withhold that? So not only giving of our work, but giving of ourselves to cause others to know God. Church folk use the word evangelism. But if God has asked us in return for our salvation to minister that self-same salvation to somebody else, we have to ask ourselves, am I being disobedient if I'm not willing to share? If I'm not willing to call somebody else to have a relationship with him, call somebody else to know him. And the final thing I would ask you to put on your list to measure your obedience is your willingness to celebrate him. Is your willingness to praise him, to worship him, to celebrate him, to celebrate his house, to celebrate his church, to celebrate the pastors that he's giving you, to celebrate the people that go to church with you? Are you willing to celebrate those things? And I leave you with this, because Jesus said to his disciples when they were returning and they were rejoicing because the devils were subject unto them. And he says, don't rejoice because the devils are subject. And I believe he was telling them that. He said, because sometimes you're going to speak to a devil and tell it to leave and it's going to leave. And he said, sometimes you're going to speak to a devil and it's going to laugh at you. It's going to laugh at you. It's going to put his feet on your coffee table and open your Pepsi and start drinking it. See, I know we don't talk like that at church. We talk like the moment you speak, the demon flees. But see, I actually read the Bible. Jesus came up to a man that had a demon in him, and the demon didn't flee because Jesus came up. The demon said, I ain't got nothing to do with you. I'm dealing with him right now. And Jesus said, he said, get out of him. And Jesus said, and the demon said, we are legion. He said, I'm speaking for you. He's like, hey, we don't set up shop in this. What you mean leave? What just, this our turf. Did you, what site? They was like throwing up gang signs. They were like, Jesus, whatever. We got this. They were like, and so Jesus now has to have a conversation with the demon and find the demon like, all right, man, fine. At least let us go on the pigs. So he wasn't scared. He wasn't immediately trembling and fall. Jesus comes out of the wilderness. He's with the Holy Ghost 40 days and 40 nights. He's fasting and been in the face of God. And as soon as he comes out, here comes the devil. Cast these down, make these stones bread. I give you this kingdom. Yo, he got to say, the God, the word said, yeah, yeah, yeah. And so he's quoting word. Jesus, 40 days of fasting, quoting word, being with the Holy Ghost. The devil still comes in three times and tries to attack him. So now if you got like 2 days last week on the prayer call for 5 minutes and one of your friends tweeted out a scripture and you liked it. So he told him, he said, don't rejoice because the demons. He said, I believe he's saying because along your growth and your maturity, different things are going to happen at different times. There's times where you're going to have to fight off a cold. There's times where you're going to have to fight off a disease. And he says the different levels of faith that it takes to fight off those is going to take different levels of faith. And sometimes it's going to be instantaneous and sometimes it's going to take several weeks. He says, but your endurance or your consistency will outlast all that. So don't rejoice because the demons are subject. He says, rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Gosh, I got to get you us to hear that. Rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. See, obeying God is all about the fact that I know I have a promise in him. And my obedience in the earth, why it might look strange to some people. Why is he giving his money at church? Why is he giving his time at church? Why is he giving his talent at church? Why does he care for people that don't care about him? Why does he pray for people that despitefully use him? Why is he kind? Why is he willing to forgive? I'm willing to do all of that because there's a promise from my God. That my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. That there are benefits that come to me before I get to heaven. Namely, my children get extra time to get it right because I'm a man of God. My family is under covenant of protection. My seed, my vine won't cast its fruit before time. I have a promise from God. And so when you're committed to living for God, you're committed to obeying because of the promise.
That's right.
You're committed to obeying because of what he did. It's not fun. It's not fun. And people, oh, it's just, oh, I love to give an offering and pay. I love to give $1,000 to the church. I love God. I love the church. I don't love to give $1,000. But I obey the God.
That's right.
Who made me a promise. And if I feel like if I'm going to live my life not trusting him for $1,000 over here, but I'm trusting him for eternal home there, there's a disconnect somewhere. If I can live my life and I'm expecting to live with him forever and have fellowship with him forever, and then I can't because Bobby rolled his eyes and I can't get over that in this, there's a disconnect there. And I just choose to walk with God and I choose to obey God and I choose to let my obedience to God be a driving factor in my life. I choose to be a man who obeys God. I choose to be a person who honors God. I choose obedience. God doesn't have to make us do anything. But those of us that recognize our names are written in the Lamb's book of life, we're willing to do anything. Praise God. Come on, pray with me. Father, we love you. We bless you. We thank you. God, we thank you for the benefits of obedience. With everything, we start with the kingdom and end with us. And I thank you that our obedience leads us to a place of the blessing. And Father, you're so gracious to us that when it comes to our obedience, you ask us and give us the opportunity to judge ourselves, the scripture says, so we can be judged of no man. So, Father, I'm not here today to say if you don't do this, you don't do that, you're not obeying God, or you're not saved, or you're not this. I'm simply sharing what you've told me and how there's a benefit to obeying you, Father. How those of us that are willing to pay the price and give unto you in the areas of our lives that will then turn around and bless you and bless your house. I'm thankful, Father, because your word declares there's peace that passes all understanding. I'm thankful, Father, that in your presence there's joy. I'm thankful, God, that you said we can live life like a dream. And God, I thank you that we're bold enough to believe you and your word. We're bold enough to schedule our lives around you and your activities. We're bold enough to give you additional time of our service and our skills and our intellect. We're courageous enough to bring you our tithe and our offering and our first fruit and sow seed and be a blessing where you tell us. And then, Father, we're also learned enough to know that we're positioned then to receive, that our capacity gets expanded when we do the things of God. And God, your promise is that we will never outdo you in giving and what you'll return back to us for our receiving. And so, Father, it's out of a pure heart of love that we thank you and we bless you and we give you honor and glory in this place. And we bless you, God, that we get to obey you, and that even when we're disobedient, you're merciful and gracious to allow us time to get it right, so that our obedience is not by force or that something crazy is going to happen to us, but it's simply an act of our love toward you, God. Not forcing us to pray and love somebody and love our church and appreciate our pastors, and not forcing us to do that at all. And you still would love us the same, but when we get to do it, God, it's just our obedience to you. And so, Father, I pray now for all those that are obedient to you, that you show up this week something special. Just this week, Father, show something special. I'm believing that all will have a testimony. Whoever is willing to increase their obedience this week, God, I declare as your manservant, God, that you've given me to say this, that there will be a tangible sign in their life that their obedience has rewards beyond the level of their obedience, so that they can perpetually be givers and perpetually be receivers of more than enough. Because that's the kingdom way. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Come on, give God a hand. Praise for his word. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Listen, those of you that are mobile church, thank you for being with us this week. Before I let you go, I want to pray for you. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord, today is your day to receive him as Lord. Receive Jesus as Lord by confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart on the Lord Jesus. You don't have to try to chronicle all your sins. You don't even have to try to change something that you're doing. Salvation is just you opening your heart and allowing Jesus to come in. He'll do any changing or fixing later on. That's not your job. That's his job. He's the Lord. Lord means owner. So if you repeat this prayer with me right now, you will be saved and born again. Not only will you be saved and born again, but you'll be just as saved as any preacher, pastor, me, my wife, Bishop Jakes, anybody you can see on TV or name or think about. Salvation comes as a whole package. So pray this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I accept you as my Lord, and I receive you as my Savior. I thank you for your sacrifice so that I might live a blessed life. Amen. Folks, if you prayed that, you're born again right where you are. there are people in my in the streaming room right now that can pray for you. If you go to our website or our app, you can freely get in touch with us. We'll send you some stuff free of charge. We want to bless you and cause you to have a relationship with your God. And if you've just made him Lord of your life, we would love to rejoice with you. And know that even while we're waiting to rejoice, the Bible says all of heaven rejoices the moment somebody comes to the Lord. So thank you for obeying God today. Your act of obedience is the greatest act you'll ever do on this side of heaven. Praise God.